Last week, I talked about being careful of our communication, and I talked about a specific detail of that, and that is gossip. But I don't think the message will be known for the gossip. I think it'll be known for the leaf blower that I brought onto the stage. And I couldn't believe how many people left the service and, boy, I wish you would have turned that on. I thought, I wish I would have too. Some of you senior saints are a little more rowdy than I thought you to be. So anyway. But the reason I really did want to turn on that leaf blower and spread that gossip by leaf blower, but I really wanted to make a better application. And that is, you know, we direct where gossip goes initially. You know, if I turned that leaf blower on and just blew the names out there and asked what name did you get, I'd have no idea how you got that name. But when I spread gossip, and believe me, even as a pastor, sometimes you're tempted to do that. When I spread gossip, I know who I'm spreading it to. But as I walk back to this platform and ask people to pass it along to someone else, and they pass the names that I had given to them and talked a little bit to them about, they pass it on to other people. And you know, that's the problem with gossip. Number one, it's a sin for me to talk to them initially about it anyway, but then I can't control who they will pass it along to. You know, in that the course of that day, they passed it along some to children. Can you believe they pass gossip along to children? But it happens, doesn't it? We pass it along to somebody who didn't even know anyone here. That shows you what happens with gossip. So again, part of the problem with gossip is not only should you not be sharing it with that individual, but then they often share it to other people, and you have no idea how far that web spreads. And so we really got to be careful with gossip. Two guys stayed on the platform this morning. I'm going to have them both stand up if they were. I love both these guys. I want you to know that. But we're going to pretend today that we're gossiping about Tyler. You know, there's a lot of things we could tell you about Tyler. Now, none of us in this room believe Tyler to be perfect other than his mother, right? No, I'm just kidding. No, she knows a good bit about Tyler. Even his wife is already recognized after just less than 2 months. She already recognized, wow, I didn't know I was getting all this. But anyway, but you know what? I think you wouldn't find his wife or his parents gossiping about Tyler. Why is that? Because they love him. They care about him. They know he has faults. They know he has flaws. But they wouldn't go up to Pastor Terry and, oh, let me tell you about Tyler, and begin to dish on Tyler, as we would say. They wouldn't go spreading gossip. And the problem is, when I go to Pastor Terry and talk to Pastor Terry about Tyler, am I helping Tyler by doing that? Am I resolving the problem in Tyler's life or between myself and Tyler by going to Pastor Terry? Am I fixing anything by doing that? No. The problem is I'm not going to Tyler one-on-one. The problem is I'm going behind his back. The problem is I'm sharing information that I had and now giving it to someone else. Now there's more people that have that information. Did Pastor Terry need that information? No. Might the next time Pastor Terry sees Tyler, might that come to his mind? Oh, yeah, you're the guy Pastor was telling me about. By the way, he told me some other things I didn't know. And isn't that the danger of gossip? Not only do I tell Pastor Terry something he doesn't know, but temptation is for him. And again, we're just using this as an illustration. Pastor Terry is not a gossip, neither is Tyler, but we're using these guys as an illustration. Temptation would be for Pastor Terry to say, well, I also heard this. Here's another temptation next time I see Tyler. Hey, let me tell you something about Pastor Terry. I know you're not going to believe this. Isn't that how the gossip works? Not only do I end up gossiping about Tyler to Pastor Terry, but then I can turn around and gossip about Pastor Terry to Tyler. And so again, we weave this tangled web. And then after a while, you're trying to remember, well, who did I talk to about what? And trying to keep all the details clear, trying to keep them separated. So again, when I go to Tyler about Pastor Terry, again, I'm not helping Pastor Terry. In fact, I'm hurting him. I'm not trying to restore. I'm not trying to repair. I'm not trying to fix what's going on in his life. What I'm doing actually here is what we would call corrupt communication. We'll see in a little bit. But I'm tearing him down instead of building him up. If I really love Tyler, I'm not going to go to Pastor Terry about something Tyler's done. If necessary, I'm just going to go directly to Tyler. Now, love covers a multitude of sins. That means every time I know Tyler does something wrong, I don't have to run up to Tyler and talk to him about it. Sometimes just because of the relationship, the friendship that he and I have built over these number of years, I don't run up to Tyler, and he doesn't run to me every time I do something wrong. Just because we're friends, we just let go. But if something I see in his life that really would hinder his relationship with others or his testimony for the Lord, then that's something important that I might need to address with him one-on-one. You say, well, I'm just going to Pastor Terry and telling him because I want some advice. And that would work in this situation. But number one, you have to recognize this. You don't go to someone for advice unless they are your or his authority. You know, sometimes you'll go to a close friend and you'll say, hey, let me talk to you about Tyler. And well, are they your authority or are they Tyler's authority? If not, they're not part of the problem and they're not part of the solution. So stop and think. If I'm about to share this with them, like let's say, for instance, if I'm about to say something to Tyler, hey, Tyler, I need some advice on how to handle Pastor Terry. Can you help me? Tyler would think, wait a second, I'm not his authority. I shouldn't be sharing any advice. I shouldn't be hearing this. And I shouldn't be talking to Tyler. Why? Because he's not his authority. And so I should only seek advice from somebody who's my authority or from somebody who Pastor Terry is under. Does that make sense as a Christian? Again, we've got to put practical feet to this. We've got to understand. Interestingly, even as I came here today, someone has come to me and say, you know, and they were asking in a correct way about how to handle a situation. Why? Because they were and they didn't share any details with me. The other thing is, well, I'm just asking Tyler to pray for Pastor Terry. Boy, didn't I just Christianize sin? didn't I make it sound holy, holy, holy? Didn't I make it sound, boy, I'm doing the right thing. The only reason I'm sharing this is because I want them to pray. Number one, again, is that person under their authority? Or excuse me, are they over me or are they over him? That's first of all we need to ask. Secondly, do we really need more people to pray about God's will in a situation like that? If it's God's will that they be different, then we should pray about God's will, but we don't need others praying about God's will. It more becomes a matter of sharing information that others don't need to know. So again, you might be tempted to console with someone, to talk about the details, and to just confide in someone. You've got to be really careful about that because it then too is gossip. We need to guard ourselves. Again, don't come to me about Pastor Terry. Why? Because he's a friend of mine. I don't want to hear it. Don't come to me about Tyler. And that's the approach we all ought to take. We're all in a body of Christ. We're all to be working together. So we shouldn't want other people coming to us. Go ahead, man. Thank you for standing up here. I told them, just stand. You don't have to do anything. They look pretty. I thought that was good. By the way, I also have got a guard. You can even gossip within the family. I see my two sons here. Boy, they were quite rivals growing up. We won't talk about that. That's gossip. You don't want to hear that. But you know what? I could go to Brian about an issue I'm having with Caleb or an issue I'm having with Brian. Let me ask you, is one the authority over the other? No, they're not. That would be sowing discord among siblings. I would be provoking children to wrath. And so even within that family relationship, maybe it's going to a brother about a sister of yours, or to a sister about a brother of yours, or another sibling of yours, or what, we have to really guard ourselves. Because what seems to be innocent can be turned over into gossip. Look here, Galatians chapter 6 with me. Galatians chapter 6. And look at verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, those of you who are walking in the Spirit, having a right relationship with the Lord, restore such in one. So I'm the minister to them. Again, I wouldn't minister to Pastor Terry by talking to Tyler. Or I wouldn't minister to Tyler by talking to Pastor Terry. I wouldn't minister to Brian by talking to Caleb. I've got to really guard because I am supposed to restore such in one in a spirit of meekness, considering myself, lest I also be tempted. So not only should I be thinking about them, I should be thinking about me. Because sometimes I put myself in the shoes of a judge or one who has the permission to tell others about their fault. So I want to talk to you this morning about communication that helps others and guards ourselves. Turn with me now to the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Communication that's going to help others and also guard ourselves. Someone that's gossiping is actually slandering. And they're not considering themselves, lest they also be tempted. So let's pray, and then let's look at a message that I've entitled, Keeping Your Communication Biblical. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do ask that you would help anyone here that's not one of your children to see Christ in us, and to hear Christ in the preaching of the Word, and to recognize their need for a Savior, a need for a guide in their lives. And Father, to realize that they need to walk in the Spirit, and walking in the Spirit, they should not be under condemnation. So I'm praying that you would bring them to the place where they'd recognize they need a Savior. And Father, allow us the privilege to share with them from the Word of God how they can become a child of yours. But primarily, Father, I'm speaking to Christians because you've addressed this issue of slander and just our words in general over and over to us as Christians. You had Paul write to churches about how they should be guarding their communication. You had James writing to Christians about how they should guard their tongue, that unruly member. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, arm myself, arm each one of us with something from your word that would help us. The key is when we notice from your word that we're doing something we shouldn't, it is not to get upset that it's being preached, but to say, you know what, I need to make that change. And then ask you to help us. And so humble us, Father, in this message. Help us to be willing to make the changes necessary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about some principles that we can use in our communication. Now again, this entire message is not all geared toward gossip. But sometimes as you get toward the end of a message, you recognize there are more things that I could say and things that I could address. And I thought it'd be a good way to open this week's messages by kind of going back over this a little bit. But as I preach the remainder of the message, it's not all about gossip. It's really about any types of communication within our lives, whether it's with a family member or whether it's with someone where we work or whether it's somewhere where we worship or somewhere where we live, whatever it might be. We want to make sure that we are communicating in a way that is biblical, a way that would please the Lord. This chapter, primarily beginning around verse 17, changes to where it's, you put off, if you want to be like Christ, the opening verses, then you need to put off these things that are like the world and then put on these things that are like Christ. And you find that primarily in verses 22 to 24, but we're not going to, for the sake of time, dwell on those verses. So he starts talking to the Christian about making changes, and the first one that has to do with communication is about how you must exchange your dishonesty for honesty. Have you ever made an exchange, and sometimes maybe you're taking a phone back or a pair of shoes back, or you're taking an item back, a television or whatever it may be, and they no longer have that model. And because of that, they need to exchange you to a different model. Well, we're talking about putting off things that are worldly, fleshly, and putting on things. We're exchanging it with things that are spiritual. So look here in verse number 25, a key passage for us, Ephesians 4, 25, wherefore putting away lying, so we're to take lying out of our life, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now a neighbor in the scripture is anyone you come in contact with. This morning I just met for the very first time Grant and Ruth and delighted to have them in our service. Just moved to our area. They would now be considered my neighbor. Not because they live just a few miles away from me, but because it's somebody in my life. So the Word of God says, it's not that you just tell the truth to people you know well. It's not that you just tell truth to people that are over you. It's not that you just tell the truth to people who are in your family. You're to tell the truth to anybody that you're in contact with in your life. So maybe in your life as a Christian, you're tempted to be dishonest at work. Or maybe you're tempted to be dishonest in an exchange with somebody you don't know that well. The Word of God says, no, we are to put away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We are all to be working together in the body of Christ, so we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and to be really guarding our communication. As a Christian, we must further recognize that any type of deceit or not full disclosure of the truth is considered lying according to the Word of God. So as a Christian, we really need to guard this. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 3. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So stop lying. You should have put that off as a Christian. And so if you haven't done that, you should be putting off lying. I put here as kind of a sub-idea that we ought to act with the other person's best interests in mind, not our own. When we lie, we have our best interest at heart. We are trying to protect ourselves or protect something we have or to protect someone who is in our life. So when we lie, we're thinking about ourselves. So the Word of God says first, here's this first principle, that we are to put away dishonesty and put on honesty. So you need to begin to practice that as a Christian, whatever part of life, and specifically in areas where you're tempted to be dishonest. Maybe it's in the workplace. Maybe it's within the family. Sometimes you lie closest to home. And so you really need to guard that in your life. Secondly, because I need to move through these, you must exchange then your past for the present. The past problems for present communication or current communication. Look what it says in verses 26 and 27. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. A number of years ago, I had the children, I was up at the sportsman show, and it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Stay up all night planning your revenge. Well, I don't think that's very good sound doctrine for the Christian. Don't go to bed, stay up and plan your revenge. By the way, we had an all-nighter here on Friday night. I found this out that people that are strange at 5 in the afternoon are stranger yet at 5 in the morning. Yeah, some of them have their heads down right now. I won't mention names. That would only get me in trouble with Lindsay and Ruth Ann and others, but I won't mention names. We had a good time. But the idea here as a Christian is this: we need to work to resolve issues. And that's really, if you boil it down to it, it is that. How many times do we go through life and don't really resolve issues? And the Word of God is just warning us here, we need to stay in the present and we need to deal with the present. And have you ever been in conversations, and maybe you find this often, they keep bringing up the past? Well, part of that's because the past has never been then properly resolved. And so we need to resolve issues that, so when another issue comes up, hey, we can't talk about that, that's already been resolved. Correct? And so as Christians, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When we do that, we give place to the devil. Look at verse number 27. Neither give place to the devil. And so when we don't resolve issues, when we keep bringing up the past, dear friend, if you have dealt with that in the past, let it in the past. Don't re-injure them. Don't keep bringing it up. There's going to be weaknesses. There's going to be times when they commit the sin again and you say, well, you told me, you promised me you'd never do that again. Let me stop and talk about that for a second. Number one, we are all flesh, are we not? And we all have weaknesses of the flesh. I know what the other person wants to hear, what you want to hear. You want to hear them promise that they will never lie to you again. But guess what? They're flesh. And the reality of it is they're going to probably lie sometime to you again. So what we have to recognize is this. We got to deal with that situation. But we can't keep bringing it up to them. We've got to allow that to be in the past. Now we've got to deal with the present. Because whenever we're dealing with the past, we're not working on the present situation. So again, here as a Christian, we need to discuss the person, the current problem, and not the past history. And so as Christians, first of all, you've got to exchange the dishonest for the honest. Secondly, you've got to exchange the past for the present. I was thinking about as an illustration to share with you, I thought about Peter. Boy, Peter, what a man of God. Now, we don't often think that way, though, do we? What a man of God. How God used him mightily. Sadly, you know what? We often think of the past. We often think of the issues that Peter had in his life and sometimes putting his foot in his mouth and sometimes rebuking the Lord and sometimes denying the Lord and even cursing and swearing as he did so to try to prove that he wasn't part of knowing the Lord. And even after all of that, what happens? Peter says, I go, what? What's Peter going to go back to? Yeah, that's why I'm against fishing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not against fishing. But Peter says, I go fishing. And the other says, what are we going to do? We're going to go with you. Likewise, we're going to do the same. Boy, it has to be a little bit disheartening to the Lord. You just died on the cross for their sins. And you had called them to be the apostles, the sent ones. 3.5 years you spent with them, 24/7 almost. And after you die, they said, we're going back to fishing. I thought about the Lord as he approaches Peter. The Lord comes on the shore, and I'm not going to retell the whole story. They're out fishing. And finally, the Lord gets to talk to Peter. And he talks about, there are sheep, and I want you to go feed my lambs. And what was the Lord doing? The Lord didn't say, man, Peter, you keep going back on me. You keep forsaking me. You know what? You rebuked me, and Peter, you denied me 3 times to 3 different people, and then you ran out and wept bitterly, and then when I went to the cross, you forsook me. You don't hear that from the Lord, do you? The Lord left the past in the past, and he dealt with the present problem. And as Christians, we would do well to deal with the current, in our communication, learn to deal with the current problem instead of talking about the past history. Let's look at a third thing here found in verse number 29. Again, we're just working down through what does the Word of God say in this passage about putting things off and putting things on. And he's constantly going to communication. Remember last week, if you were here, I talked about that tongue. It's an unruly member that no man can tame. Now, one of us can get to the place where we have that tongue totally tamed, but we need to be tempered in all things. So we need to exchange the destructive for the constructive. That which tears down to that which builds up. Look at verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Does it say we're allowed a little bit? Let's say we can do it some. No, as a Christian, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. The corrupt means to tear down. Edifying means to build up. So you have to stop and ask yourself, am I attacking the problem and helping the person, or am I attacking the person and not helping anything? Again, going back to Pastor Terry and Tyler, I wasn't helping either of them by going to the other one. So gossip, listen to this, gossip is always corrupt communication. Always. It's never building up that other person. And so because of that, we come to this conclusion, gossip is always what? What's a three-letter word? It's always, it's sin. You said it, because God said it. And so we are to not let any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that, here's the reason, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That it will be helpful. That it will be strengthening. It will be encouraging. So as a Christian, I've got to guard myself and ask this question, is this going to tear them down, or is this going to help build them up? And again, sometimes what we say in speaking the truth can be a little bit hurtful, so it's got to be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Sometimes the truth, what? The truth, sometimes it hurts. But you've been there, maybe, but some have been there as a parent. And you're just being truthful with your child. I've seen this consistency in your life that it isn't good. And so what you're doing there is you're sharing the truth, but you're trying to share it in a gentle way. You're trying to share it with grace. You're trying to do it with meekness. Those are spiritual, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. And so the parent shouldn't be yelling at them and belittling them and name-calling them. The parent in love maybe sometimes has to sit down and say, you know what, I've seen this, this, and this in your life. And if you continue on that path, one day it's going to hurt you in your relationship when you get married, and it's going to hurt you when you have children, it's going to hurt in the workplace. And this doesn't glorify God. And so there are times you need to share that information and talk practically and one-on-one and lovingly. Well, when you break out of the family, it really shouldn't be any different. Again, if something is seen in someone's life, you may have to speak the truth. And because that truth itself might hurt, then you don't want to hurt them by adding your emotions to it and your thoughts to it and saying, you always and you never. And you don't want to do that. The truth itself hurts. So your spirit should almost be like a balm. Like you're trying to minister to them, that it may minister grace to the hearer. So you see a reoccurring issue and you think, well, you know what, I've forgiven them this in the past, but I keep seeing it. You might have to say, you know what, I know I've forgiven you this in the past, but this has been a reoccurring thing. So now you're using that past, but not in a hurtful way, to help move them forward. You understand what I'm saying? Again, ministering with grace. We don't want anything that's corrupt, anything that's tearing them down. So you've got to really be careful. Sometimes we have doctorate degrees in sarcasm. And sarcasm actually means to literally to tear flesh. It comes from a Greek word, sarx. It means to tear flesh. Well, sometimes we're really tearing with our sarcasm. You've got to be really careful. Because we are to minister grace. So guard ourselves in our communication. Fourthly, you never thought I'd get there, did you? I usually have 2 points to my message, and I have 4. And you're thinking, he'll never do it. You know what? I really didn't think I would either. But anyway, let's go to the thirdly. See, that's corrupt communication. You say, I never would do it. See that? You are being corrupt in your communication. All right, we're exchanging the dishonest and now putting on honesty. We're taking off the past and dealing with the present. We're getting rid of the corrupt and now dealing with the current. Let's look at verses 31 and 32, where we have to exchange the emotional for the Christ-like. We're going to exchange emotional communication that is communication spoken out of emotions, and replace it with Christ-like communication, which is communication because of the character of Christ that reigns within us. Look at verse number 31. Look first of all at the emotions, let all. What's the first word? Bitterness. And then what does it say? Then wrath. And then anger. By the way, there's a difference between wrath and anger. The boiling up, the quiet, letting it boil up inside, not saying anything, and then all of a sudden exploding. And then it's all over. To the constant yelling and screaming and torment. And you say, well, I think it's better to just blow up. And then so then you're saying a stick of dynamite is better than a wrecking ball. You know, they both destroy. You say, well, I'd rather destroy things fast and get it over with. Is that really what we want? No, but it's an emotion we have to deal with sometimes. And so the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, there's the emotions that fuel the clamor and the evil speaking. The word clamor is actually the word that means loud, yelling, or the crying of a raven. You ever heard a raven cry out? The screeching cry of a raven. Well, that's what clamor is. The emotion, bitterness, wrath, anger, sometimes causes us to clamor, to become loud. This is something we're to put off. Why is it? Because that yelling, that loud, and this can be, you're under that great temptation sometimes in parenting. Sometimes in parenting we think, wow, I'm the authority, so I should get louder. Actually, the authority ought to speak for itself. And instead of the parent getting louder and now yelling back at the child, demonstrating anger, it would be better for the parent to speak through their authority which they have and not through the loudness of their voice. And so as a parent, we've got to rein that in. The evil speaking, the word for evil speaking, it means slanderous or injurious speech. Again, that we've kind of already covered that. Gossip is slander and injurious speech. It hurts. It doesn't help. But there are other forms of speaking that are that way. You sometimes get mad at someone so bad in the situation, instead of dealing with the problem, you start battling them. Pardon, but just you'll understand in the realm. Well, you're an idiot sometimes. I've said that to a few drivers around me over the years, by the way. And I'm sure a few have said it about me, haven't they? Amen, they have. That's why I don't put trust Jesus Christ on my bumper, because I probably wouldn't always be the best testimony out there. But anyway, you know what? I started now attacking the person. That's injurious speech. And so we've got to really guard again. If you're prone to name calling and belittling, and again, you always do that. You never. What you're doing is attacking the person and not the problem. It'd be better to start asking questions. Well, what were you thinking when you did that? And what were you aiming for? What were you wanting to get out of that you chose to do that tonight? What were you looking for in that relationship? What were you longing for? What did you want? Again, what you're doing is you're opening communication instead of shutting it. When we have evil speaking, we are shutting people down. We are quieting them. We are causing them sometimes to become anger and bitter filled in their lives. Someone who says there are venters and clamors. The venters vent. The clamors clam up. They say the venters give the ulcers, the clamors receive them. And isn't that the truth? because they're holding it in. Often they're the ones that are receiving. And so we got to really be open with our communication. And look, he says, put that off. Now, but here's what I want you to do. Again, it's not just stop yelling. It's start doing this. And be ye, what's the first word? Verse 32, and be ye kind. What's the next word? Tenderhearted. Next key word, tenderhearted. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. What's the next key word? Forgiving. Boy, how our relationships would change if our communication changed. We'd stop being dishonest and started speaking the truth. Listen, if you were brave enough to do it, you ought to be brave enough to say that you did it. If you were cool enough to make the choice, you ought to be cool enough to say, and I did it. Be honest. Secondly, not only do we need to put off the dishonesty and put on the honesty, secondly, we need to put off dealing with the past and start dealing with the present. That would help our relationships. Thirdly, then, we get into this realm of tearing down and building up, so we need to take off the tearing down, because you don't want to be around the people that are always tearing you down, and you need to start building up. And then fourthly, you need to take off the emotions. That speech that's just merely born out of our emotions, and put on the spiritual, the Christ-like. So what do we need to be? Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake. So God forgave for Christ's sake. So you are called to forgive for Christ's sake. You say, well, I don't deserve it. Do any of us deserve forgiveness? Think about that. We've done something wrong. So none of us deserve forgiveness. The two don't go together. So you don't give them what they deserve. That's what we're keeping from. That's why he called us to be kind or to be merciful. Tenderhearted. We're giving them what they don't deserve, but it's because of what is like Christ. Hanging on that cross. I think almost everyone knows the words. Maybe not everyone, but most of you would know the words. Father, what? Forgive them. For they know what? They know not what they do. He didn't forgive them because they deserved it. He forgave them because they needed it. And they weren't even asking for it. Dear friend, if we can change in our communication, we can change our relationships. And the key is not finding some Baptist book that has it all listed out for you, a number of principles to add to your communication. Now, you don't need a book other than the Word of God. And if we start living by the Word of God and taking this, okay, take this out of your life and put this into your life, take that out of your life and put this into your life. And you know, this is a constant growth. God doesn't expect you to be perfect, but He expects you to be growing. So there's going to be something this week, guaranteed, there's going to be something come up in your life that you're going to be tempted to say the wrong thing. So allow the Word of God to run over your mind and again, refresh yourself. Okay, I'm not going to lie in this situation. I need to stop lying in these situations. I'm just going to tell the truth. I need to stop tearing people down. I need to try to build them up. I need to stop dealing with the past. I need to deal with the present problem. I need to stop speaking out of my emotions and get control of myself, walk in the Spirit, and feed them with the Spirit of God. Dear friends, if we can change our communication, we can change our relationships. And it starts with having a relationship with God. The Lord knows you won't be perfect, but He's willing to help you. And isn't it great that He's always there? So when you're tempted, He's going to make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. So He doesn't want you out there on the island all by yourself trying to fend for yourself. He said, I'm there with you. I'm going to give you a way out. This is what I often ask the Lord. Make it bright and shiny. Help me to see it. I'm so often blinded by my own sinfulness that I don't see the way the Lord makes out. Make it clear for me. And may we go in the way in which He leads us. Let us pray.